Hi, I'm Lana, and this is 314 on the Red Ice Network. My next guest is Tom Kaczynski, the former town manager of a small town in Maine who recently voiced his pro-European views. The mainstream media has been going nuts over this story. You'll hear all about it up next. Welcome, Tom Kaczynski. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Well, you are the latest big, bad, evil white supremacist fired for your political views, basically views such as mine. So tell the story, because you were a town manager in a very tiny town, in a white town, I should add, in Jackman, Maine. You made some comments on Gab. Tell us what happened.
Yeah, so I have been working as a town manager up here in Jackman, Maine. It's a small town of about 900 people that, never drew any attention. And just for people who don't understand what a town manager is, it's basically like being a mayor, except you're appointed instead of elected. So I went through a process, was selected over 14 other applicants, and had been working to make my town a better place. But like any American citizen, I was exercising some of my First Amendment rights through social media and other platforms, just talking about some ideas that I think, your viewers would agree with, which is questioning the role of how Islam is integrating into our societies, and also saying that people have the right to be around people who they want to be around. And being someone who represented a town that was 98% white, I naturally thought how, to serve the interests of my white citizens, as well as any other citizens who were there. But what ends up happening was about 2 weeks ago on Friday, I get a phone call at 1 p.m., from the Bangor Daily News, which is a very left-leaning newspaper in central Maine. And a story was written by a gentleman from New Jersey about me with a number of quotes that made me look compromised and questioned my ability to do my job. Now, they wanted me to start resigning from the moment the first story was written, but I refused to do so. And I stood up because I believe in my rights as an American. I believe in the Constitution and freedom of speech. And I believe I was right. I spoke truthfully about some of the challenges out there. And I did so in a way where I wasn't saying it as a white supremacist, but rather just talking about issues of culture through an organization I run called New Albion. You can see the flag there in the backdrop of what we use for that. And what we are is an organization committed to the heritage of the people who live here, as well as Western cultural values. So it's kind of interesting how that became spun into me being a racist, a Nazi, and a bigot. But that's what happens when the media machine gets a hold of you. And I've gone through the ringer, and 3 days later, I've moved on now to a new career, $30,000 richer, talking about white civil rights and trying to work within my region to promote the sort of cultural ideas I believed in.
Now, you mentioned the $30,000, and lefties are just, they just can't stand it that you got severance. Now, was this basically...
Well, it wasn't a severance.
It wasn't severance.
This is important.
They didn't want you to sue, right?
Because I was terminated without cause.
Okay.
And it was a settlement because technically, legally, I could have sued them for the remaining value of my contract, which was approximately $160,000. So it was actually in kindness to the people of the town that I settled for that amount. You know, the people here live in a small, quiet town. They didn't want to have a bunch of attention drawn to themselves over the issues, and whether they agreed with me or did not agree with me, the select board and I decided to mutually resolve this in an amicable way so that we wouldn't have, those sort of struggles be ongoing, just because out of respect to the people and to move forward rather than have a protracted legal battle over the issue.
Now let's talk about the town, the demographics. It's about, 1,000 people live there? It's almost entirely
last
white?
Last count is 862. It's 98% white. rural town, lives on logging. We are closer to Quebec than any other major city, actually. We're 18 miles from the Canadian border. And just a small town up in western Maine. Good, hardworking folk. Nothing but good things to say about the people of Jackman. But it's a funny thing because, most of the time I've been here, what I was actually working on is trying to save a 24/7 health center. No one cared about that in the media. That wasn't important. People being able to have high quality of life. But someone dares to, not even say certain things, but just suggest not having shame in being a white person. And all of a sudden you become a national character. And I knew once this story first broke, there was nothing really I could do but see it through. And I wasn't going to back down because I just don't believe in that. We have to stand up for our rights as people. And I think all people have the right to do that, including white people.
Now, let's go back talking about Gab. You know, what comments are they viewing as so incriminating? And did someone report you? Did they go look on your Gab? Do you know about this?
Yeah, no. What I've learned, actually, it's interesting. As you can see, I have over 7,000 followers, and I had around 6,500 at the moment. And it's funny because I have over 10,000 posts. So they went through, there was a group of two different organizations that went through apparently all of my Gabs and found the five worst ones, I guess, took them out of context and painted a story that made me look particularly vile, racist, and hateful. And as anyone who knows me can tell you, and even if you look within the Gab community, you'll see they'll agree with this. I try to be a thoughtful, respectable person, and I've always done this under my own name, private and independent from my time at work, but I do go on there and we have interesting conversations, and I want to say thank you to Andrew Torba and the good people at Gab for putting out a free speech platform where you don't get censored and where you can put ideas out there. So I like to do that there, and I actually encourage you to follow me there if you haven't had a chance to. But there I was talking about my project, New Albion, which is just a cultural project. It was based on five core values of nature, culture, heritage, legacy, and community. And that was what upset the people, because I said that, you know, maybe bringing Islam into the West, where you have people who come from cultures where violence is common, where women are seen as second-class citizens, and where, you know, you don't have that separation of church and state, might not be the best fit for Western civilization. And apparently that was too much for people to handle, but I think it's a truthful statement. And we've seen in the U.S. and especially over there in Europe, just how badly, you know, people have been negatively impacted. And I'm not going to pretend something isn't true just because it's politically incorrect to say it.
Now, how did the town respond to some of these comments that came out? Because they essentially live in an ethno state. Maine is pretty white, right? They obviously don't want to go live in the cities with lots of diversity and multiculturalism. So how are they responding?
You know, it's an interesting contradiction, right? Because people who live in a overwhelmingly homogeneous area who are subject to the same social pressures as everyone else actually have a very favorable opinion of diversity, mainly because they haven't experienced the consequences of it. You know, if diversity means the nice lady who's making Chinese food or something like that, it's very easy to have a positive view of it. And I think it works in Maine because you have something where you have a state that's realistically 95% white and all one culture for the most part. So you don't have those sort of conflicts that you have in other areas. And, you know, that was fine. It worked for everyone, and there was no issue with any of that from me or anyone else. But I think that's why you see so many people up here, for lack of a better word, virtue signaling so hard, and not really so much the people of Jackman, so much as a few voices who have become the most strident in this case.
Yeah, and it is true. There are lefties who live in Maine who are just the biggest hypocrites. You know, some of the whitest areas have the most lefties. always.
Well, you know, it's funny because so many of the people up here who've actually really understood what we're about are people who have either lived in other places or who have spent time in other places, because they do realize, you know, while there are benefits to having people of different backgrounds around, there's also a lot of costs. The confusion about what is right leads to conflict and leads to, you know, a lot of social cost, you know, that just don't get calculated. But I mean, it's one of the things I learned being a town official, that people treat diversity like it's this universal good, but no one even knows what they mean by that anymore. It's just something that gets funded into every program without asking any questions. At what cost to the unity of our state are we accepting these programs and these federal dollars?
That's just it. So are you going to have to move after this? Is the town coming at you with pitchforks, or what's happening?
No, I mean, I'm not sure what we're going to do yet, but it's a quiet town. And so long as things stay quiet, no one bothers us. My wife and I have been comfortable. There are some people who don't like us. There are some people who really respect us. And a lot of people just don't care so long as they don't have to hear from us. So we'll see how it evolves. I don't know what's going to happen yet, other than to say that it's our intention to remain in Maine and continue working up here in New England. We love the area. We love the people. And we really have a cause to fight for now.
Yeah, I think you should definitely stay. Definitely stay. Now, let's talk about how the lamestream media has been treating you. They were all swarming up there after this happened. Tell us about your experience.
Well, they lie. They lie a lot, yeah, right? I mean, what can I say? They're like, Mr. Kaczynski, can you please explain how you're not a horrible racist? And then we're going to go ahead and quote this a different way. I don't know what you can say. You know, it's funny because most of these articles where I've been quoted, I spoke with a reporter for 30, 40, 50 minutes sometimes because I wanted to get my side of the story out there and make very clear that New Albion wasn't a racist organization, that there was no sort of attempt toward white separatism. What happened was a comment on my blog talking about voluntary separation, that is the right of free association that follows from free speech, is something people may choose to adopt. And from that, they somehow extrapolated that, you know, I was trying to create some nefarious state up here. So I've been incredibly frustrated by the lack of fair coverage, but I've also been heartened to see that if you look beneath the stories on a lot of these places, you'll see that a lot of people actually agree with the stance I took and with the idea that, you know, someone should go ahead and call truth how they see it and have that right protected, as is for all American citizens, you know. And one thing that I've really took umbrage with was that the idea that you can't do your professional job when you have certain personal opinions, because all of us put our opinions aside when we go to work, unless, you know, we happen to work in the media or an advocacy view. And I think, you know, reasonable people understand that. And even the town, when they conceded that they terminated me without cause, said that they knew there was no reason for anything against me. In fact, I had had a positive review and a raise approved just 3 weeks prior. So it was really a tempest that came down upon us. And the thing that people who've never been in this can't realize is that it happens incredibly quickly and it's overwhelming. One story gets reprinted in 20 different forms.
They just copy
and
each other.
A bunch of Well, that's exactly it. It's the same story. It's the same people who were behind it. And you don't really have the ability to resist. And I'll tell you the proof of how I knew it was fabricated a little bit. Because even though there were 20 stories in the biggest newspapers, there wasn't one YouTube video about it where people were mad at me, which to me said that they were creating the appearance of people being so angry. When I was reading comment sections, the comments were 70-30 positive to negative. But this is the power of the media and why it's so important that there are outfits like your work at Red Ice to go ahead and put out a narrative based on facts and based on actually listening to the characters involved and then letting people make their own determinations.
And the other thing is, you know, for those who support freedom and patriots and free speech, there is a thing called freedom of association, and with that comes freedom to disassociate, right? So, I mean, of course, we should, you know, if people want to go live alone with other white people, it's their business. If people want to go live in the multicult, that's their business. But it's about forcing people and saying, you can't live that way. We're going to come in and bring in some refugees into your community because there's too many white people here. That's the problem, right?
Well, but that's the thing. It's intimidation, right? Because even if you're someone who wants to go out there and say, hey, maybe this isn't the best thing in my community, you get intimidated. And people who can't speak in the public sphere against this have no ability to resist. Now, it's not a problem up here in Jackman, but I know down in Lewiston, Maine, you know, they've been, the federal government in association with Catholic Charities has been taking a bunch of refugees from Somalia and bringing them into Maine. And these are people who, you know, don't have the sort of cultural background to really fit into Maine easily without the investment of a lot of resources. And there was a story the same week mine broke about a woman in Portland, Maine, which is our largest city, who was the first Somali cop hired here in Portland. And she was charged with assault and battery off hours. But, you know, even though she did that and she was charged, she was only on administrative leave, where I was fired for saying, you know, that maybe bringing people in like that isn't the best idea. And I think what people don't understand who aren't in it, and I only appreciate it now that I've been through it, is how quickly and how severe the consequences are to a person's reputation and their career. Because realistically, not only did I lose a job, but now I have to defend myself publicly against so many smears that are out there that realistically, my only future is in working for myself and working for the cause. And I think so many people who would agree with just asking questions go silent because they're so scared of the consequence.
That's just it. You might not be able to find another job again because of this, right? And it's a concern. But now you're going to be forced to, as you said, go, you know, fight for the cause full time. Do they really want that?
I actually think that they came up there thinking that they could run some guy out of a small town. Yeah. That he didn't have any fight out of him. Little do they know, I went to a very good school, have been extremely well educated, and I'm ready for this fight. They picked the wrong person to mess with. And, you know, whether it's me or someone else, what they're going to find is the more people they pick on, the more people fight back. Because America and the West generally do not want the agenda that's being put down on us. We just want to live in our countries as they always were. And I think there's a ton of support for that.
Yeah, I think so, too. A lot of quiet support for you. Now, as a government worker, were you entitled to any kind of protection under the law for your political views?
Well, like I said, that was the reason for the settlement. It wasn't a severance package. They conceded I had at least a somewhat viable case. And under the protection for the First Amendment, under the fact I was operating under a contract and you know, we had settled that mutually amicably, and that was the, you know, basically that $30,000 was their way of convincing me not to sue them. So
it's funny how paranoid lefties are getting too, of like, oh no, there's these kinds of people who are in leadership positions and on town councils and government. Oh no, you know, they're getting so.
I know,
paranoid.
But it's crazy because all of them are in all these positions to begin with, in all of these towns or whatever.
Yeah.
Pretend for a second I had been a leader in Black Lives Matter. And that I was a town manager somewhere else in Maine or some other state. Do you think it likely I would have gotten fired? Or is it one of those things where there's a double standard, where if you have a pro-white position where, or even a pro-West position without even being overtly racial, where you could be fired for holding a certain set of beliefs? But I've never heard of anyone being fired or outed in the media for being a communist this side of Joe McCarthy, you know?
And really, when I was reading through your comments, of course, we share a lot of those same views. You just want to live in a place that's a white majority. What's so wrong with that? There's plenty of people that want to live in a Black majority or an Asian majority or a Jewish majority. It's only white people that get attacked for wanting to live with their own in their own community.
Yeah, I don't know what is wrong with it. I think it's hypocritical. I mean, if people want to adopt to the culture and there's a few people, you know, who come and fit in, I've never had any problem or any prejudice against them. But realistically, I mean, we come from different backgrounds. We come from different cultures. You know, we're up here in the cold and the snow. I mean, I'm Polish and Russian and German, so, you know, it feels natural to me. And it just seems like it should be home. And I think that's a path to peace. I think that, you know, the obsession with making everyone like everyone else and centralizing governments and forcing policy doesn't leave room for expression. So it not only destroys unique cultures of all types, white, Black, Asian, Latino, otherwise, but it also goes a long way toward making it where people cannot work with one another and they fight with one another, because we don't have the option of having, you know, one path, say, in Maine and maybe another one in Florida. Or, you know, one path in America and one path in Sweden. Anywhere in the West, we're being forced more and more into just being homogenized into one culture that I would say is based on our least common denominators, where we aren't allowed to have values other than to accept everything. And I just think that that's a failure and a recipe for a really unhappy future. And we see where these majorities and these ideas are abandoned, that the breakdown of law and order and then eventually the other cultures that are more willing to fight for themselves begin having a larger and larger role. And I think, you know, if we don't start acting soon, we're going to reach a tipping point very quickly.
Yeah, and we always have to point out for newcomers that it's basically every white country that is being forced to diversify, become multicultural, have open borders. We're supposed to celebrate becoming a minority in our land. No other people is expected to go through this. In fact, when it happened in Tibet, when the Chinese were flooding, the world cried genocide, right? But then when it happens to us, they say it's diversity, it's multiculturalism, and we're supposed to celebrate. The problem is now this is even happening in Europe. They're saying Europe can't even be white anymore, you know, and they're coming for Americans, and they'll say, oh, now Oregon's too white or Maine is too white. I mean, it's clear that it's clear that there is a plan, there is an attack happening against us where we can't just live in peace with how we want with our people and our own culture.
Sure. And, you know, I think the root of that is that when you look at the people who are pushing this plan, once upon a time, you know, communists talked about economics and the fact you would push the poor interest as a way of getting to power. But it's been proven time and time again that way of running government doesn't work. So what they do instead is play off the resentments of a bunch of different groups, of different minority groups and different issue groups against the majority, and they make whiteness specifically into a foreign other, something that must be hated and being opposed. And at this point, at least in the American context, it's the only thing holding, you know, our country together. Like, if any of you had the chance to watch the State of the Union address, look at how, you know, so many members of the Democratic caucus were just sitting there miserable about positive things happening in our country. It's there's no commonality in it. And the thing that frustrates me, and why one of the reasons I stood up, is that, you know, if you are a Black, a Latino, a Native American, an Asian, you can stand up for your race. You can stand up for issues your people face. But if you're white, you can't do that. You're just supposed to talk about ideas abstractly. But I worked in government, and I know how payouts work and how programs are funded. And so when there's a program to fund the Black community and the Asian community and all these other communities, there never will be a program to fund the white community. So functionally, we've become second-class citizens in our own nations because we're not allowed to be considered as having our issues be dealt with. And I wouldn't mind that so much if that was the rule for everybody, that we were all just, you know, Americans or whatever nation you live in. But it's not that way. It's a double standard. And if you go ahead and assert it's a double standard, you get viciously attacked because the people who are mobilizing minorities against the whites are really doing so in a way where they're sort of cynically manipulating them just to get votes, not looking to create a better future for all people in the country, including the majority whom they're supposed to serve.
Yeah, and that's just it. At what point is it going to be okay for us to stand up for our rights as a people, as white people? How small of a group do we have to be before it's okay for this to happen? It seems like it will never be okay, ever, as long as we exist
as
white supremacy.
And the funny thing is, the smaller we get, the less rights we have.
Yeah, I noticed that.
And the less ability we have to resist. I mean, we can look at countries where, you know, there were white majorities or whites ran things, and as they moved the other way and powers were given up. I mean, it's not a perfect example, but I'm sure many people are familiar with what's happened in South Africa and how, you know, basic rights of citizenship have been stripped from people down there. The right to drive, the right to own land. You know, you have to basically pay a bribe to the government under a racial redistribution policy. And if America should ever reach a point where, you know, you had a majority minority culture, you might see that happen, as you see sort of really questionable things happen in some of our states. So, I mean, it's something I'm concerned about, because I actually believe in having, you know, nationalism for everyone, where everyone here who is a legal citizen can enjoy it. But if people don't begin acting and don't become aware of these things, then, you know, the funny thing about democracy is we have a government that really is encouraging certain groups of people to have the citizens in the next generation and not others. And we all deserve a voice. And if we don't speak up for ourselves, I'm pretty sure no one's going to speak up for us.
You are absolutely right. So do you think now the town of Jackman's going to get an influx of refugees just to make a point against you? You know, I wouldn't doubt if they imported some Somalis into your town now, just to make a point.
Well, you know, the thing that helps is there's not a lot of housing. But if we had Section 8 housing, I wouldn't be surprised.
You know, they might just build it just specially for you, you know, to find where you live.
Yeah,
and build
no,
it
they'll
right
put my name on it, and then some people will come after me. That's possible. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think that, you know, during the current administration, we're seeing the refugee numbers decrease in the United States. I'm very grateful for that. I hope that that trend continues and they go further. A lot of the people being settled now were begun during the Obama administration. But, you know, politics changes quickly. And I think people need to be aware that, you know, a time will come when not just, you know, people will be standing up against this, but the government will be funding a lot of these programs much more aggressively and actually prosecuting someone like myself, potentially, for just speaking out for the basic idea that we should have an equal playing ground. So it's very concerning. And, you know, those efforts continue and they're not going to stop. And it's less of a problem in Maine, perhaps, than other places, but it should be a concern to all people, in America and throughout Western countries if what happens if your population is displaced.
Yep, that's right. Well, we salute you for taking a hit and for coming out and being bold. So tell us more about New Albion and also how people can support what you're doing.
Thank you. Yeah, New Albion, as you can see there, the website, newalbion.org. We're in the process of getting some upgrades to that, but a lot of it is a project to work here in Upper New England and potentially even in the Maritimes of Canada to go ahead and preserve the culture. We sort of feel like we need positive self-identity before we contemplate political change, and so we do that with our core values and our core idea of folkism, which is just to say rather than having a left versus right struggle, we look at each other as a family and that we work together to defend our lands and do this in an intelligent way. So if people want to support me, if you look on the website, you'll see I have a link to a free starter page. Any help is much appreciated. My wife and I are now without a job, and I am the sole provider for my wife's health. She has chronic Lyme disease, which if you know, it's a terrible epidemic up here, and it's very costly. Insurance doesn't cover that. So, and if you follow me on Gab as well, I'd appreciate that because I am a premium creator there, and I don't actually create premium content, but I do go out there and make a lot of people who deserve to be made miserable very unhappy. So I will continue doing that, and the more you pay me, the more I'll be able to do that without having to worry about taking care of my duties as a husband. And other than that, prayers are always appreciated, any encouragement and support. If you live up here and you want to get involved, reach out to me. I'm very easy to find, and I just thank you for the chance to talk a little bit about what we're doing, about pushing white civil rights, as you see I call it, and that we're not going to be second-class citizens in our countries anymore. And, you know, I hope for people that my action inspired them a little bit to know that you can stand up. Yes, it hurts. Yes, there's pain involved. But it's also rewarding to know that you're not going to be pushed over. And you do wake up the next day, and it's not all bad, and people will respect you. And even if the media says horrible things about you, you know in your heart you did the right thing because you can feel the call of your ancestors saying, hey, we're not giving up, and that you're building that future for the children who you hope come along behind you.
Absolutely. It's one of the most noble paths you can take, I think. So, you know, we wish you the best, and thank you so much for coming on and telling your story. We appreciate it, and we'll definitely stay in touch and do it again.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Have a good day.
Before you go, our redicemembers.com website is back up. So if you want to help support what we do, go sign up for a membership at redicemembers.com. You'll gain access to all my shows, all the Red Ice radio shows, Weekend Warrior, our live TV show, and other special video content. Redicemembers.com is the place to go. It's because of people like you that make what we do possible. A lot more coming up. See you on the next one.